take me back to my cul-de-sac. I'm afraid yet again we've run into one or two technical difficulties. But you know, we'll get there. It is not the end of the world. Although, you know, do you think, like, when the world ends, do you think it'll be silent? That's, like, do you think it'll be real quiet? Do you think it'll seem very quiet without human sound? Or do you think, like, plants will take over? Do you think it'll be a barren wasteland? Since we're on the subject, which we're not. What do you think? Yeah. Oh, hold on. There we go. What do you think?
I think the world's a very noisy place, even without the influence of people. I tend to spend a lot of time outdoors, and it gets surprisingly loud. So even when our, I guess, anthropogenic mark is gone, something will come in and fill in the noise, I'm sure.
Wait, anthropogenic?
Anthropogenic.
Define that for me.
People.
Anthropogenic. Okay, I've just never heard that word before in my life.
Really?
Yeah. All right, I think we're back on here. Let's find out.
Lovely.
And I am supposed to be doing I'm supposed to be handing this over to a online show, and I just simply am technologically challenged. Oh, we're not back on. This is so fun. Let's find out if this works. It doesn't. Yeah. So you're saying that even without humans?
Even without humans, there's plenty of noise out there. It's a noisy place.
It is a noisy place, isn't it?
It is. And so, yeah, I think that's about where I stand on that.
I was reading a book the other day where the main character, it was a nonfiction autobiographical book. The author had the kind of fascinating conversation or observation where she was, I'm trying to figure this out. We're working on it. And I'm also trying to talk at the same time, and I have enough trouble doing one thing at a time. So it's kind of a challenge. But there's in the book, this is Smoke Gets in Your Eyes by Caitlin, I cannot pronounce her last name. It looks like Doherty, but it's not Doherty. Like
Doty?
Doty. Yeah, it's Caitlin Doty. And she actually physically uses a decibel monitor to check the decibels that this man is speaking at. And it's, she observes that it's about the same as a garbage disposal.
Wow. Absolutely love that. I love eccentric little devices.
Yeah. And it's working.
Lovely.
And soon I won't be on air, nor will Penny, because we were supposed to be gone 6 minutes ago. Here we go. Why am I away? Nails on the floor and soot on my tongue. I don't know his name, but I still taste the rum. Nothing there but skin. Skeletons crawl on the ceiling. They know that him and his aftershave hit like a drug. Don't answer me, I'm calling just to hear you scream. And you're fading, but he feels like you in between. I've said too much, in and out of wanting lies. Now you're fading, and I wonder who will erase me. Who will erase me? Race you to the end. Like it desperately knows that I'll crash if I don't let you go. Don't answer me, I'm calling just to hear you scream. And you're fading, but it feels like you in between. I've said too much, in and out of one. Just to hear you scream, and you're fading, but he feels like you in between. I've said too much, in and out of wanting us. Now you're fading, and I wonder. In and out of wanting us. Now you're fading, and I wonder who will erase me. Oh, who will erase me?
Thank you. spun glass in sore eyes, while the moon does its dim vision, you're buried below, and you're coming up roses everywhere you go. Red roses fall. They'll kill you in time. Your cold white brother alive in your blood, spinning in the night sky, while the moon does its division. You're buried below, and you're coming up roses everywhere you go. So you got in a kind of trouble that nobody knows. It's coming up roses everywhere you go. Red roses.
Functioning cog in some great machinery, serving something beyond me. But I don't know what that will be. I'll get back to you someday. Soon you will see. What's my name? Oh, just tell me what I should do. I don't need to be kind to the armies of night that would do such injustice to you. Or bow down and be grateful and say, sure, take all that you see. To the men who move on me in dimly lit halls and determine my future for me. What good is it to sing helplessness blues? Why should I wait for anyone else? And I know you will keep me on the shelf. I'll come back to you someday, soon, my
my princedom by the sea.
You know, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
We're back. Yeah. We're actually just going to cover for the next show as well. Yeah. So Penny's goodbyes were fatally
falsity.
Early. Yeah.
Yes.
How dare you?
Tragic.
How dare you lie to these good people?
I know. I really am just the worst.
You're the worst.
The worst.
Yeah. And go ahead and give us a PSA. Tell us the worst that could happen.
The worst that could happen. Today you ate Greek yogurt. You took the train. You planned a workout. You skipped it. you did all the things that one normally does the day before a devastating earthquake. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
And you know, that is actually so topical because I like semi live in Alaska. It's a weird situation. But anyway, I partially live in Alaska and there are earthquakes all the time. You know, there's big cracks in our kitchen tiles and everything because, you know, earthquakes, dishes fall and shatter, etc. And my dad received a very, like, one of the strangest calls from my uncle a few years back. And there was this massive, huge earthquake in Anchorage. If you Google it, it's like, it was crazy. It was insane. And my uncle was, he was like, Dan, my father, he was like, Dan, like, it's terrible. It's terrible. And my dad's like, what? And he's like, the narwhal tusk that was in my grandma's house fell and it broke. And so in my mind, a narwhal tusk, that's what, 3 feet?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like 9 feet tall. That thing is massive. Narwhals are huge. Either narwhals are really, really freakishly big, or the tusk goes all the way through their body. And I honestly can't decide which one's more realistic. Because I look at that tusk, and it reaches almost to the ceiling. And I'm just like, there is no way. You know, there's just no way.
That is insane.
It's wild.
Ocean's a wild place.
There was also, the other day I was vacuuming underneath my, whoa, it is raining out. I just noticed that. It's raining out. Heads up, fellas. Yeah, heads up, folks. I was vacuuming under my sister's bed because I'm a very, very good sister, and also because my mom told me to. And the vacuum hit something, and it didn't move. You know how you just kind of like shove it back with the vacuum? That's what I do under my other sister's bed, because you look under there, it's disgusting. I am the youngest. I just want to point that out. It is disgusting. You look under there, there's like petrified ice cream dishes. It's just the worst. But anyway, I was going under my sister Katie's bed, the cleanlier of the two. And it hit something and it just wouldn't move. And so I turn off the vacuum and I look underneath and it's a mammoth tusk.
Naturally.
And so I say, hey, family, why the mammoth tusk? And my mom's like, oh, because it seemed like that was like a good place to put it. And I was like, no, that's not the question that I'm asking. The question that I'm asking, since apparently I need to be more specific, is why do we have a mammoth tusk? And it turns out both of my grandparents passed away like semi-recently, within the last, it feels recent because of COVID, because it happened right before COVID. And then COVID exists in my mind as just a gap of any memory or thought.
Seriously.
Yeah, yeah, nothing happened. But apparently my grandpa, my dad's father, saw an ad on Craigslist that said, we found a mammoth tusk. You want it? And he was like, yeah, I want a mammoth tusk. And so he called them up. Or maybe it was in the newspaper. It was in like, because I don't even know when Craigslist was invented. Craigslist seems impossibly old.
Timeless. Truly timeless.
But I'm pretty sure it still didn't exist when this happened. So I'm actually guessing it was the newspaper. Ah, old people's Craigslist.
Old people's Craigslist.
And yeah, so he just bought it. And apparently it was in their house, which I never noticed it. Which is sort of a testament to all the other insane stuff that they had in their house. They actually have a recreation of, what's it called? The Last Supper. But everyone is fish. It's fantastic. My family's very pro fish. My parents threw a little party and they served fish and like good fish. I'm not talking farmed salmon. I'm talking like caught by a friend in Alaska salmon. Like this is good stuff. And two of their friends are vegan.
Oh.
And my mom, she wasn't like mad. She was just disappointed.
Not mad, just disappointed.
Of course. Yeah. She calls me up and she's like, Zoe, can you believe it? She wasn't even mad that they were vegan. She was just like, they couldn't even have the salmon. They couldn't do it. It honestly is tragic, because that is a delicious meal.
That sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Penny here is coming up to visit me this summer in Alaska, and I can pretty much guarantee that most meals will have a salmon or halibut, because Homer is the fishing... Sorry. God, I messed that one up. That was my one moment to praise Homer and to really bump it up in the standards, but I missed it. Homer is the halibut fishing capital of the world, which it's very niche, which is why we have it. But also the tides are in the top 10 most extreme in the bay.
Said, yeah.
It's wild. I actually had a friend who came up to Alaska to visit me, and he mentally prepared. He's the kind of person that, you know, is occasionally worried that everyone is robots and that reality isn't real, which is a valid kind of person to be, of course. And he mentally prepared himself for everything in Alaska. He was like, moose are going to be huge. I was like, yes. He was like, it's going to be light all the time. I was like, yes. He gets there. We go across the bay to, like, this cabin that we have. The bay that it's in, like, little bay, totally full, like a bathtub, you know, all the way to the tree line. You know, these trees hang out over the water, and the tips of their branches almost touch it. 12 hours later, it is completely empty. Seaweed just, like, laying flat on the bottom. All the sea life, you know, all these rocks, the water kind of trickling between them, just mud and mussels and clams. And it's actually, like, it smells fascinating. I wanted to say it smelled bad, but it doesn't smell bad. It doesn't smell good. It smells fascinating. But it's a very strange experience, I would guess, if you had never seen it before. And so we walked around, my friend Ollie here, his eyes were so big. And he could not believe that it was real. Like, of all the things in Alaska that he mentally prepared for, he could never in a million years guess that the tides would be like that. Because it doesn't seem real. One minute you're sitting on a boat, you know, 30 feet above the sea floor, and you can't even see it. And then 12 hours later, you're walking there.
Yeah.
It's really neat.
Jeez.
Penny is big into rocks.
Big into rocks. Geology.
I'm really excited because there's some weird rocks it might just be algae growing on them, but they're bright pink. They're very beautiful.
Ooh, that does sound very interesting. Yeah. Some sort of granite, I'm sure.
Oh, sure. No, I trust you with all things rock.
Yes, I'm excited. It's going to be a good trip.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. And up next, we have some opera for you because I wanted to say because I didn't plan well. I never plan for these. I've tried and it doesn't work. Because you get there and you just have a totally different prerogative. Your brain is in a different place. Your heart is different. In the 5 minute walk between my dorm and here, you know, suddenly, all of a sudden, you feel like you need some opera. So here is Eternal Source of Light Divine, Birthday Ode for the Queen. For Queen. There's no the. Anyway, it was played at the royal wedding, which I actually wouldn't know. I don't keep up with the royals. But on the cover, it's the royal wedding. And here we go. I actually love opera. You know, when it's done good, it's actually most of the time it's done amazingly. No offense. Men's opera is kind of boring to me. Women's opera? Whew. Oh my God.
Yeah.
They can sing.
They can sing.
And, like, they don't even have mics. They just destroy.
They shred.
Ugh. They're pretty metal. Here we go.
Thank you.
And I'm really hoping that you enjoyed that one because, I don't know, I feel like orchestra, it is surprisingly later than I thought I would be up tonight. Opera, that's the word. I do feel like it is, I don't know, it feels like something that you'd fall asleep during. You know, you go to the orchestra when you're a kid, and your parents, like, get you all dressed up, and you go to the orchestra. Was this a general experience? It might have just been me. I don't know. But you go to the orchestra, it's a big deal. And then you get there, and it is so boring. And nobody moves. You know, you thought maybe there would be, you know what? This was with a class field trip, actually. I was trying to picture my parents bringing me to the orchestra, and it just was not working in my head. But I knew it had happened. It was with a class field trip. And you get there, and you think, oh, you know, maybe there'll be dancers. You know, maybe there'll be ballet dancers. It'll be cool. No, nobody moves the whole time, except the conductor. And, you know, you fall asleep, generally.
Generally.
And yet, when you know the story behind the song that's being played, it is so different. It is so amazing and just insane and beautiful. I went to a concert that my good friend Newt was in last semester, and one of the songs was based off of Romeo and Juliet. And before they began, also, you might have seen the posters around. It was terrible, terrible. No offense to whoever made it. It was terrible art. What's it called? Photoshop. It's terrible Photoshop art of, like, wine and cheese and wine and grapes or something. I don't remember.
Oh, I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah, then. Really badly done. But anyway, the grapes were very small. Like, oddly small and all very round. But anyway, I went and, like, before, the conductor, I forget his name, but he is absolutely lovely and so funny. He had them play little bits from it and that he explained what they were. He played, like, this crazy part with, like, all these clashing cymbals, I don't know music terms, I should, but all these clashing cymbals at surprising times, and that was the sword fight, you know, between Romeo and, who fights Romeo and dies? Juliet's cousin.
Oh.
Forget his name. Terrible with names, always have been. But
it's been a minute.
That was the sword fight, and then there it tells this entire story. And when you knew the story, you listened to it and you felt it and you heard it. And it's just wild that, you know, really long, but one song can contain the entirety of Romeo and Juliet, like all the emotions in the play that I have never seen in my life or read. But I feel like I have because, you know, you go and you emotionally experience the entire thing in, I don't know, half an hour or something. It was, anyway, it was very, very beautiful. Actually, there's a TV series, American Gods. It's absolutely stunning, at least the first season is, because it was directed by the same guy as Hannibal. Fun fact. But the first season is beautiful, but in one of the later seasons, there's this guy who, when he's young, he plays all this music, and his father tells him, he plays piano, I believe, and his father tells him, like, oh, you know, this symphony was written by this composer after his entire family was taken by the Spanish flu. I'm making all of this up, but you get the gist. It's generally the same. And it just contains, or maybe when, like, a child died, and it just contains all this grief, and it is so heart-wrenching, and you can just feel his pain in the music. And his son grows up and goes to college and gets really into computers, and he designs a computer program that writes orchestral compositions, and they're beautiful. And his father hears them, and he's like, where did you learn how to do this? Like, this is gorgeous. And his son is really, really excited, and he's like, oh, like, I'm, you know, I created this program, and it's based off of, like, what sounds best and does all this. And the dad is just so sad because he kind of has a moment of realization where this is the future. Not necessarily I don't believe that it actually is the future of music, but he has this moment where he realizes that, you know, it's a fake song. It's beautiful and it doesn't mean anything at all, which I do feel like, I feel that way about AI art.
Yes. Oh, God.
Yeah. I truthfully do not take my word as gospel because I have done absolutely zero research into this. But from what I've seen, I see all these really beautiful things, and I check, and there's a vibe about them. They feel a little
liminal.
Yeah, and a little smooth.
Yeah.
And a little flat. And you check, and you hope it's not AI, and it always is AI. And on, like, my For You page for Instagram, it's sort of slowly being taken over. You know, not fully, it's not a full assault, but it's every once in a while, and more often, I will click on something and it'll end up being AI art. And I feel that way about that art, where it's beautiful. Like, you can't say that it's ugly. You know, it is absolutely beautiful. And it means nothing. It's not, unless it's a commentary on technology or something.
Yeah.
But from what I'm seeing, it's just there to be pretty. Which I don't think is a bad thing to be. I think a lot of things are there to be pretty. Me on days when I dress up nice, you know, like just there to, for no reason. But I'm not sure if it's art anymore.
No, art should really have some sort of impetus behind it.
Yeah.
Some sort of emotion driving it. A reason for being.
A reason for being, yeah. Yeah, hopefully, I truly do not believe that AI art is the future of the world. I hope it's not.
I hope it's not.
I think it feels like kind of a fad. But as it evolves, we'll see. Fingers crossed. But I know that I prefer terrible, terrible line drawings with just ridiculous words alongside them. Dave Eggers, I believe, the writer, draws just... What was the... There's one that hangs in my room at home that is a... I believe it's a yak, and it's looking right at you. And the words say, "You will never have a successful long-distance relationship." And I like that way more than I like those, like, shiny, pretty dresses with, like, kind of a weird, vague suggestion of a person in them that the AIs make on my For You page. You know? Alright, and I think I've talked long enough. I needed to get that off my chest, I guess. I really did not come in here planning to talk much at all. But it's just one of those nights, and it's longer than I expected. Here's a, frankly, beautiful... Since we're talking about beautiful things, this is a beautiful song. It's called Fields of Gold. This version is by Eva Cassidy. I'm not sure who wrote the original. It might be just like an old folk song. A very sweet... old man named Tom. He's not that old. I'm going to call him an old man, though. He gives old man vibes. A very, very sweet older man named Tom. We had a jam session together one time. It was like me and a bunch of older, just townsmen, and my father. And I was on the guitar and singing. And Tom plays beautiful piano, and his wife died many, many years ago of cancer. I forget what kind. And she played the violin, and she played it beautifully. And he still has her violin. And my friend Ollie, who I mentioned before, played it once because he's a prodigy on the violin. He's crazy. But he played the song for us, like over the speakers, and taught me how to properly like dance, like you would in a. They used to fill this old barn on New Year's. They would fill it. It was a boat barn, you know. This guy fixed up boats in it. And on New Year's, they would haul... Or maybe Christmas. I think it was Christmas. They would haul the boat out, and they would fill up the entire interior of the barn with beautiful Christmas lights. And they would have live music of just guys in the town and girls in the town who played. And Tom's wife would play violin, and he would play piano. And everyone would dance. And so he put this on the speaker, and we danced around the room. And he is one of the loveliest people I've ever had the fortune to meet. And here's the song. And I think of his wife when I hear it. I never met her, but by all accounts, she was so lovely. And by the way that her daughter turned out, she was a very, very good and generous and kind person. Ooh.
the fields of barley. You can tell the sun in his jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold. So she took her love for to gaze a while among the fields of barley. In his arms she fell as her hair came down among the fields of gold. Will you stay?
Little bird, fly away while you can. He says he wants the best for you. He'll struggle to the death for you. Seems to be the answer to your prayers. But girl, there's something in his eyes, poison that he can't disguise. If I were you, get on out there. Little bird, don't build your nest in his hands.
I just wanted to take a moment to shout out to Barefoot, who you just heard. That is actually a band from the town that I live in. I still live there, kind of. I don't know. Nobody knows. They're lovely. They taught a bluegrass camp in their off season, or during the summer, I guess. Not really their off season, more like their on season. But it's made up of absolutely lovely people, very, very kind. The violinist actually taught me violin over the summer. But yeah, they're broken up now. But they had a great run. This is Little Bird from Follow Me. And the album Follow Me is absolutely no skip. Well, there's a couple skips, but it's mostly hits. Highly recommend if you like bluegrass or if you like good music. Here's a tone switch.
Having a bad week, let me touch your cheek. I will always love you. Having your face hit, having your lips split by the one who loves you. Real love, real love. watching the spirit fly in the hummingbird.
Cannot fall in love, but I guess this avoids the stress of falling out of it. Are you tired of me yet? I'm a little sick right now, but I swear when I'm ready, I will fly us out of here. Cut my hair. I'll hide my chest and I'll figure out a way to get us out of here.